Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. Friday, April 11th, 2025. My buddy Tom Fairbanks on the other side of the glass. Tom, we are off to the races. 100 degrees, maybe even a 101 today. Is that what you're hearing?
It's likely. It's looking that way.
Yeah, the percentage is very high. And that would come, typically, we'd be mid-May. Used to be that back in the day, I can remember, it seemed like end of May, but push everything up and it is what it is.
Well, April is moving along pretty fast, it seems to me, so it looks like we're going to get to May pretty quickly.
We'll get to May very quickly. We are in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios, which is part of the Bustos Media Center. Here in central Tucson, we've got now 5 radio stations under one roof. They're all doing very well. This one's 1030 KVOI, Tucson's trusted voice for live news and talk. We're now in our 15th year for the radio show and beginning to say we can be pushing toward 40 years in Tucson radio and TV. It's 37 specifically for yours truly. We have our worldwide live listening podcasts all available on my website, buckmastershow.com. And our live line presented by our friends Sean and the gang over at Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Our media sponsors, TucsonSentinel.com. We thank Dylan Smith and his team over there, Jim Ninsel, and of course, Dan Shear, Green Valley News, Sahorita Sun. Dan, thank you for your support over the years.
Thank you, Bill.
You've been a terrific co-host on many occasions with me, not only on TV, but then here in on the radio show, and you'll be in this seat for actually a couple of Fridays while I take an extended vacation, which I'm very excited about. Also, I don't know if we're ready to talk about that yet, but it will come up, I'm sure, but it's going to be a couple of weeks. I'll be off the air looking forward to a nice vacation. Tucson Spotlight also supports it. That's the newest online news service. Caitlin Schmidt, former Arizona Daily Star reporter, has her own online service, and it's doing very well. All right, let's welcome our Friday Focus interview, David Godlewski, the president and CEO of the Southern Arizona Home Builders Association. Hey, David. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, Bill. How are you doing?
Doing very well. And considering what's been going on, why don't we have your opening remarks about how are you navigating these choppy waters, as they say?
So we're just going to go ahead and rip the Band-Aid, right?
Let's get right into it. How in the world are we doing?
Well, you know, it's certainly been a significant amount of uncertainty for home builders and the broader real estate community over the past several months. The unit that we look at in terms of measuring the progress of home construction is the single family permit. And every home needs to get permitted by the jurisdiction in which it's being built before construction can begin. And so to give you some perspective, so far this year, we're down about 35% in terms of the permitting activity. And I think that's just a confluence of broader macroeconomic issues that are affecting the buyers, still trying to deal with increased or elevated material prices, land costs, and certainly interest rates, and then the recent discussion on tariffs have been some headwinds that we're trying to navigate.
Dave, did you say 35%? And what was that time frame?
We are. So year to date, so looking back through March of this year compared to March of last year, we're down about 35%. I think there's still reason to be optimistic that we're going to gain ground as we go through the summer and the end of the year, hopefully see some stability or certainty when it comes to some of the national conversations that are going on. So I remain optimistic. Most of the builders that I talk to are still positive, but the numbers are the numbers, and we're just not as far ahead as we'd like to be, certainly compared to last year.
Okay, Dan, sure, jump in.
How about tariffs, steel, wood, aluminum, those types of things? How are they affecting you, and what are you telling your members?
It's a big deal, and really a lot of it is what our members are telling us. We've seen some signs that we can, as a country, be working with our trading partners in Canada and in Mexico. Canadian lumber, for example, was exempted, which was helpful. But just broadly speaking, tariffs will have present price challenges and increased material costs. So it's difficult to put a specific number on the tariff impact per house. But yeah, it's a big deal. And so the builders are trying to get creative and do their best to work with the subcontractors and the trades and the material suppliers to either get prices locked in or mitigate those increases.
Land's also an issue.
It certainly is. You know, one of the numbers that I saw recently is, so across Pima County, there are just shy of 90 active subdivisions that home builders are selling from. 47 of those 88 have 30 or less finished lots. 31 of those 47, it's actually 10 or less. And if you think about it in terms of the lot, a finished lot is everything is in the subdivision is done and ready to go, and that lot is ready to begin construction of that house. So we just haven't seen the level of bringing those subdivisions online as fast as we need to be able to provide the houses. And so that's where I think one of the things that we need to figure out is how to bring these projects to market faster.
Circling back to the tariffs, Canada would be ranking Canada, say Mexico, China. Canada would be the main partner with home builders in southern Arizona. Is that correct?
Generally speaking, I don't know the specific breakdown on the amount of products, but yeah, Canadian lumber, we just get a tremendous amount of lumber from Canada. One of the things that
which to build a home
you need, you got to have it, right?
It's the cornerstone, right?
and so it's certainly the other thing that we've been encouraging is increasing domestic lumber production, which obviously isn't easy
to
do, right?
Overnight, right?
Exactly. So it's a complicated, a lot of dynamics working at play at one time. So.
What Chinese products would go into homes typically?
What I've heard is that it's a lot of the finishes. Appliances come from China. Lighting comes from China. A lot of the equipment, power tools and things like that, right, that are going, that the subcontractors are using are coming from China. There is a pretty significant impact there.
So it might be safe to say this is the biggest challenge since the pandemic for your industry, Dave.
It definitely, I think it's more of the impact from a macroeconomic perspective and how it impacts the buyer's decisions. And if they're looking at their 401ks or they're concerned about how tariffs may affect their household, it's presenting a reason for them to be cautious. And anytime that there's caution, it'll affect sales. So, interest rates, that's another thing. Still, we've seen some relief in interest rates, but that's still a dynamic. But the builders were able to successfully navigate COVID. They've done, a remarkable job navigating interest rates, and I'm optimistic they'll do the same when it comes to tariffs.
In times like these, when the economy is uncertain, as we talked about land cost tariffs, the prices of homes are just going through the roof. Have you done any research or seen any about people who are just going to settle for renting?
You've definitely seen over the past several years an increase in just that, in people renting, and there are builders, and there are some here in town who focus on a single family type of product. In many cases, it looks and is just like a single family home for sale, but that's for rent. In markets like Phoenix, they've seen a tremendous growth of what we call build for rent or build to rent specifically. I think even the dynamics of the younger home buyer is looking for flexibility. They may not want to be locked into that 30-year mortgage. So there is an increase in that rental segment.
So what you're saying is that entire subdivisions are being built. They look like homes for sale, but they're not.
Exactly. Yeah.
And we have those here in Pima County.
We do. Yeah. And there've been some in Marana. And those have been very popular. People get their three bedroom, two bath home. They get their backyard, but it's a rental product. Pricing is, I don't know how much different it is than a comparable house if you buy that and have that 30-year mortgage. But yes, that is a specific business strategy to build for rent, and we've seen a lot of builders do it successfully.
That product, is it a build for rent, or can the renter then be putting money toward what would become a rent to own property?
The projects and the builders that I'm familiar with, it's for rent. I don't know if there are companies that are out that are doing what you described. Mm-hmm. My familiarity is with just a business model where the homes are for rent.
All right. When we come back after the break, we had Rex Scott on the program yesterday, the Pima County Supervisor's Chair. He spoke very highly of you, David Godleski. He was very pleased, in fact, so much so that he appointed you on the Southern Arizona Affordable Housing Committee, and that seems like a big task right now. We'll talk about what is affordable housing after we do take the break. But right now, we want to welcome a new sponsor to our program. Pima Council on Aging has now joined the roster of the Buckmaster Show Partnerships. And we do want to say that support comes from Pima Council on Aging. The decisions made today shape the future for older adults. Stay informed on legislative changes that impact aging and take action when it matters most. Sign up for timely updates and make a difference at advocate.pcoa.org. We'll be right back. It's our Friday Focus interview. David Godleski is here. We're talking about his industry, the home building industry, how it's being impacted certainly by tariffs. Dan Scheer is here. Dan, the editor of the Green Valley News and Sojourita Sun. He's the editorial director for nearly three dozen newspapers now in 13 states that are owned by the Sierra Vista-based WIC Communications. Be right back.
This is your captain speaking. Thank you for flying with Tucson International Airport, where you can avoid the hassles, long lines, and the expensive parking of the Phoenix Airport. Skip the traffic, breeze through security, and park with ease, all while supporting your community. Every flight from TUS brings more destinations and better connections right here to Tucson. So next time you're planning a getaway, remember, fly easy, fly local, fly TUS. This is your captain signing off. We're cleared for takeoff.
This is what percentage of Vero Amore, where every certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore is located in the lovely Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell. Also, check out the full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax through June 2026. The funding has led to a $1.6 billion investment in regional transportation improvements over the past two decades to improve your quality of life. The RTA is working on a final draft of a new regional transportation plan for future voter consideration. The $2.46 billion draft plan includes roadway, transit, safety, bicycle, pedestrian, environmental, and other needed improvements. Learn more at rtanext.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Friday, we have a Friday Focus interview with a newsmaker, and it's David Godleski, the president and CEO of the Southern Arizona Home Builders Association. Also on Friday, I bring in one of my friends from the media, and Dan Scheer is my media co-host today from the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. David, I was talking before the break that we had Rex Scott on the show this week, and Rex was speaking very highly of you and the work that you and others are doing to try to make or find some light at the end of the tunnel when it comes to affordable housing. And you do sit, you are Supervisor Scott's district representative on that committee. Is this whole issue now with the economy going to, I would assume it will play into the whole affordable housing, which is a tough nut to crack anyway.
It certainly is. You know, I'm always a little leery when I hear that an elected official was talking about me. But
talking good things.
But yeah, yes. hopefully good things.
Yes.
And I'm certainly grateful to Supervisor Scott for the opportunity to serve on the Pima County Affordable Housing Commission. And I think one of the really encouraging things about the commission is that we also have representatives from the city of Tucson, from the town of Marana, from the town of Saurita, from the town of Oro Valley, and it is truly regional. I think we may even be expanding the members of the commission, which is always encouraging. But it's a daunting issue, no doubt about it. It's complicated. I like to say that, you know, there isn't a one size fits all approach. We really need to be data driven and understand all of the needs across the housing continuum. It can't be just looking at people at, you know, 80% below area median income and people above 120% area median income, right? We need to look at all segments of the market, both for people who may need subsidized housing to people who are purchasing market rate housing. And we talk about the issue is being housing affordability. Mm-hmm. and making sure that whether you're again, somebody who's at below the median income, being able to pursue home ownership, to those first-time home buyers, working families, and then also to people who are the move-up buyers, because we don't want people in homes who could, you know, if they should be able to move up as they navigate life in their professional careers. So it's complicated, but I'm optimistic and encouraged about the work the commission's been doing.
So the city has taken over or purchased old motels. Is that road viable?
It certainly can be. You know, I don't know enough about the
specifics. I don't know if those people that are going in there are like formerly homeless people, and are I don't know if that model is something that, that is how sustainable it is.
Yeah, I don't either. And I think it's one, it, to me, it's, I look at it as one piece of the bigger puzzle, right? And there may be, obviously the city felt confident in that decision in doing that, but there are many other things that we can be doing. One of the strategies that the Pima County Board of Supervisors has initiated the past couple of years is allocating money to what's called gap funding. And so we go through, the commission helps advise the county as they go out to bid for organizations to build affordable housing projects that are particularly targeted at low income, the low income population. And then if there's a gap between what money that they have available and what they need to complete the project, the county will go through a bit formal bid and scoring process and then award money. And so I think that's something that's very measurable that you can track, that you're really, again, just another way of trying to increase the level of inventory of affordable homes.
Okay, here, let's bring in Dan Scheer.
So is it safe to say, or not, is there a slowdown in home building now, or are we headed in that direction? I guess that comes down to how many single home permits are being pulled.
Yeah, there is there has been so far this year a pullback in the permitting activity. Spring is typically selling season. We did see anecdotally from some of the builders that they had good selling seasons, and everybody is, you know, is, like I said earlier, trying to navigate the situation. I don't think it's panic by any means, but certainly with, there's just a confluence of events and different factors that are presenting some challenges. And I personally remain optimistic about the rest of the year. So in 2024, we did like 4,100, just over 4,000 single family permits. I hope that we're somewhere in that neighborhood. That would be good. A little historical context, though, that's fewer homes than we built in 1995. In 1995, we were close to 5,000 homes. So I just think generally, even in the past couple of years that have been good years, we're not building nearly as many homes as we need to. And we've got to, again, have strategies to try and increase the supply of market rate housing as well.
So if we have a housing shortage, which everyone agrees, but the consumer just gives up on being able to afford a home, or there's just not enough on the market, then do we end up with a glut and then cut prices and then what we've seen in the past?
I don't think that's going to happen. You know, I think part of the reason that there has been fewer permits at this point this year is it's just an adjustment by the builders. So they are not building spec homes in the way that they have, you know, coming out of during COVID, it just took so long to build that builders wanted to have inventory ready for home buyers when they came in to visit those communities and those model homes. And so they were being, you know, forward thinking and trying to get that inventory in the ground. And now they're being cautious because they're seeing sales slow up a little bit. And so that's right. I just don't think we're going to see an over supply. And the builders have gotten very good about adjusting to, it's a cyclical business. And so there are some adjustments.
We haven't mentioned two words during our interview, mortgage rates.
Yeah, it's, you know, we have seen a little bit of relief over the past 2 or 3 weeks, but we're still above, 6.5%. I looked the other day, I think we were just below like 6.7%. And that is, you know, and I think that's the reality is if you're a homeowner and you have a, 3% mortgage interest rate, are you, you know, what's the motivation for you, for you to move? And obviously there's a certain amount of churn that just naturally happens, jobs, kids, all of those factors where people need to move, but it's still a limiting factor. Builders have gotten creative in buying down the interest rates, at least for the first couple of years, to make that rate more manageable.
In other words, they would absorb some of the pain.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so mm-hmm. that is, but yes, to your point, that's still an underlying issue that the broader real estate, both resale and new homes, are dealing with.
So with resale, if those numbers are going up, and it might behoove the buyer to look at a new newly built home versus a previously occupied property, that gap may be narrowing.
It certainly is, and that's what we've seen, that what we typically refer to as like the new home price premium, that delta in cost between the median new and median resale home is getting much narrower. And so I do think that's a helping home builders as well, because you can get into that house, you can customize it the way you want, you get the energy efficiency, you get all the the benefits of new construction,
warranties.
Yeah, exactly. Warranties and those things that makes it makes it attractive. And if the delta, and like I said, between the cost is low or as small as it is, that is one of the positive components for the home builders right now.
Dave, we've talked to you in the past about the shortage of trade workers, plumbers, electricians, mm-hmm. framers, AC. Is that still going on, and how bad is it?
Yes, it's still going on. It's always hard to quantify the degree or magnitude, but I would certainly say that it is one of certainly Saba's top priorities, is to get involved in workforce training and development. And
with
work,
Pima, perhaps?
Exactly. We work closely with Pima Community College. We actually have a scholarship endowment there that we're using to help attract students into the trades. We work closely with JTED, and the Phregia Costa Job Corps is actually a student chapter of ours, so it is a priority, we look at it, that's the long game, right? We need to make sure that we're trying to make sure that the construction trades are perceived by young people as a viable career where they can make good money, they learn a skill that they can have for the rest of their lives, but it's a something that's going to take a long time as well to solve.
What about getting into the high schools? Are you going that far back?
We are, actually. So Saba is a proud sponsor of the Southern Arizona Construction Career Days. It's a two-day event that we do in partnership with dozens of other organizations and companies I think last fall had over 4,000 high school and middle school students out. And the intent of that event is to give them hands-on exposure to a career in the construction trades or mining or engineering or working with one of the utility companies. It's just been a really, really positive event. And yes, we want people, even in kids, even in middle school, to see the opportunities that are there for them.
Of course, we can work year round here, but some of your colleagues in home building associations that I know you keep in touch with in the business, in the trades, they don't, that's very seasonal, the business, but this trades shortage is an issue nationwide, I would assume.
Absolutely. It's a top priority of our national association. They have actually a program or a curriculum it's referred to as the Home Builder Institute. And so it's a priority across the country, without a doubt.
Dan, any final thoughts?
Yeah, an uncomfortable one, but that's okay.
Okay.
Immigration is an interesting issue right now going on. And we know that a lot of undocumented workers are involved in home construction. No one wants to admit it, but we all know it happens. Are you seeing any effects of this, or just people just don't talk about it?
Well, I would push back a little bit. I mean, we are an E-Verify state,
right?
And so it's certainly, we've been a proponent of immigration reform, and I think that's something that's important to make sure that we do recognize that dynamic and the importance of labor and having a robust workforce. So I think it's, again, it's, we seem to be talking about issues where there's no silver bullets for, and are more complicated than probably we have time to get into today.
But you would acknowledge that, yeah, there probably are a lot of undocumented people in the construction trades and a lot of other fields too.
I certainly can't, you can't speak to that. I'm not in, you know, in HR hiring, but we are, I can tell you that our members follow the laws that they're required to.
Very good. And then I briefly want to give a shout out to Representative Juancisco Mani, because he is really pushing for Pell Grants for those who are studying the trades. And I hope he actually takes some action on that.
He's done a really good job and supported Job Corps, which is another training organization for the construction trade. So we appreciate Congressman Ciscomani and his commitment.
All right. So going forward, David Godlewski, give us the wrap up here in about a minute. What are you, look into your crystal ball? If you know something the rest of us don't, you'd be a very, very wealthy man.
Yeah, I wish I had that, yes, that crystal ball. Yeah. You know? But I do. I think we're going to continue to see challenges in the housing market. I am optimistic, though, that we are going to see some relief. There's obviously the other dynamic is what the Federal Reserve does in terms of cutting interest rates that may, you know, continue to help move the economy forward. Hopefully that we're able to get some resolution or clarity on tariffs here sooner than later. Obviously, the 90-day pause was welcome news. Housing prices are probably going to stay elevated, but with the work of the commission and ideally all of the local jurisdictions working to do whatever we can, whether it's reduce regulation, attract jobs and talent, we'll still be able to see success in home building for the rest of 2025 and beyond.
All right, this always happens when I think I'm wrapping it up. Something, I have an additional question, and so I want to circle back to that that issue about land. And could it be that one of the reasons the land scarcity, we are surrounded by so much federal land in this valley? I think that might be worth a few thoughts on your part.
Yeah, it's something like only 15% of the land in Pima County is privately held.
Yes.
And a substantial, probably close to half of that is already developed. So that's why strategies like working with the state land department and trying to bring some of the, at least the state land to market is crucial, and doing what we can not to limit where you can build and how you can build, but really trying to figure out ways to bring that land to market to be able to maximize the utility of it with being respectful to the environment and water issues and all of that. But I think that's the key thing. If we're able to bring more land to market, get those finished lots built, that will help put us in a position where we can build more homes.
Another quick question. Just came to mind. Energy sufficiency and environmental concerns come a long way in your industry.
We really have. And here in Southern Arizona, we're looking at adopting the 2024 International Building Codes, and homes will be built even more efficient. But I would argue that most, if not all, of the homes that our members are building are already more energy efficient than the code or the law requires them to be. And so there has been a tremendous amount of progress in that area.
All right. David Godlewski, President and CEO, Southern Arizona Home Builders Association. We'll be in touch, bring you back in a few months. Always a pleasure. Thank you, Dave.
Thanks, Bill.
All right. Dan Scheer is coming up. Segment three. Dan and I will talk. A couple of news items we want to discuss together, and that's coming up in segment three of our Friday edition of The Buckmaster Show. Be right back.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
I think this may be the fastest hour of my life. From noon to one each day, we put so much content, and deliberately so, into a relatively small amount of time. Dan Shearer, I think, would agree when he sits over here in the anchor chair, which he will be doing for a couple of Fridays, a couple of Mondays. I think I've got Dan for four shows while I'll be gone, actually about 2.5 weeks. Dan Shearer, editor of Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun. He's the editorial director for nearly three dozen newspapers in 13 states owned by the Sierra Vista-based WIC Communications. Always goes fast, doesn't it?
Oh, I always tell the guests when I'm sitting in your seat, hey, don't be nervous. No, it's a conversation, no, and it's going to go faster than
you. And it'll be over before you know it. Absolutely. Just like what the dentist says when he's going to do just a small cavity. It'll be over before you know it. So anyway, thanks to David Godlewski, the CEO and president of Southern Arizona Home Builders Association. Boy, does he have his hands full with all this thing about tariffs. I was thinking about some of the major businesses in your coverage area, HUD Bay, mm-hmm. with Copper World. I mean, copper and China, and even
hand.
The pecan business.
The pecan business, and let's go back to the last turf war over tariffs when the pecan company that owns 100,000 trees down in Green Valley and Sahorita, their tariff went from about 7% to around 49%. And then I talked to him, you know, maybe a year or two later, and it was down to 24. But again, that just takes, you know, takes it out of you because others can undercut you. There was some concern about some operations in South America. And yeah, they don't have those tariffs. This is just on the United States. And so that would really hurt business. And so, yes, this hits closer to home than people realize.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And when mm-hmm. it starts to hit close to home, then they kind of, they pause and they think, well, wait a minute. This isn't just guess what? All federal workers don't work in Washington.
Yeah.
There are thousands
yeah.
and thousands in Arizona.
Yes, sir.
So,
and, you know, it's interesting about HUD Bay, which is a It is not an American company. It is based in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. So I'm just wondering, maybe they're going to try to work around a workaround, right?
Could be.
China is the China and copper and. You know, they kind of go hand in hand.
Right, but and it's sent from here, the United States, and it's mined here. So I don't think there's any getting around it. And I'm sure there are a lot of nervous people out there. And a lot of them think that it's all about the stock market, which tanked for 3 days and then 3 or 4 days. And then we had a bounce back and then it's tanking again yesterday. And but it's so much more than that. Just that even though hits to 401ks down in our area, huge. Remember, old people don't have earning potential. They're done. And so... You certainly hate to see, you know, an 85-year-old going back to become a Walmart greeter when they because they have to.
Yeah, it's very sad.
And is that over the top right now? Well, maybe at this very moment, but it could happen and it will happen.
And our representatives owning up to the fact that this drop on the market is huge to those that are near retirement or in retirement. How about our local representative? I'm setting the table for you, Dan Shear.
There we go.
There
so
you go.
Wednesday night with almost zero notice, and in fact, late notice, Juan Ciscomani, who is in District 6, which touches five counties, by the way, but it also includes all of Green Valley and Sierra Vista area over there on up to Safford and whatever. He held a telephonic town hall, and this means you phone in and you can listen, and good for him for doing that. But what was and good for him for also taking questions that appeared to be unvetted, which was good, and that's bold, and it's his job too. But what was bad is that some people were getting notices of it 15 minutes after it began.
What?
You know, by email. I was in line for coffee yesterday morning. One woman said at 6:21 I got an email, and it started at 6.
Oh my gosh!
So does that say I really don't want you there? I don't know what it is, but you know what? He hit a lot of topics, and it was an hour long, and I'm writing about it in tomorrow's paper, so it'll probably be posted later on today. There were some highlights, and there were some a whole lot of lowlights, and one of them was the tariffs. I think that he really was soft pedaling what was going on. Here we have the largest 2-day loss in the history of the stock market, and he said, you know, the days following that were, quote, a tough weekend. You know what? That's like calling World War II a nasty kerfuffle. Okay, that is so understated. He did not mention the 401ks hit to retirement accounts, any of that. He just kind of said this was on Wednesday, the day the market kind of bounced back for a time. And he says, you know, basically had the impression that, hey, it's all over now, folks. Oh, no, it isn't. Not even close. And so we're dealing with a fallout now and will be for months or years.
All right, let's go to the live. No, hold on. I don't know if we do have a live line caller or not. Do we, Tom? Okay, we have someone on the live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Go ahead, caller.
It's Charles. I did have some breaking news. Walmart is sponsoring a sexiest senior greeter contest, and I just think of the possibilities.
Oh my gosh.
And thank you for calling, Charles.
All right,
I'll see you in the hallway later.
Getting back to your interview with Juan Ciscomani, when I think of telephonic town halls, one particular former congressperson comes to mind, Martha McSally.
Right, and she did a few of these, and you know, they're first of all, a lot of them are done last minute, which is really kind of leaves a bad taste in people's mouths, and then sometimes they don't take questions. Again, let me reiterate, Juan Ciscomani did take questions yesterday, and I would say out of roughly a half dozen questions, five of them were just calling him on the carpet, and he handled it well. But I think what people want is this. I think they want our congressman to share this sense of outrage that his constituents do when it comes to certain issues like Donald Trump's dealing with the courts, dealing with immigration, the tariffs, which, you know, I feel like Juan Siscomani has been put in a terrible position by Donald Trump, but he can't come out and flat out say that.
Because if he were to say anything negative about Donald Trump would threaten to put up a primary candidate against him.
And let's remember that Juan Siscomani won in November with 50% of the vote. Mm. 50%. And so he is in a very competitive district, and he's a good and honorable man, but he is lacking a little backbone, a lot of backbone when it comes to speaking out. So one more example of that, we were talking about real strange and awful situation where all of these top intelligence and defense leaders were discussing on Signal chat about bombing the Houthis in Yemen.
Mm-hmm.
And this certainly shouldn't have been done, and it was wrong. But Juan Siscomani says, well, you know, the White House is kind of on top of that one, and we're just going to have to wait and see what happens. He wouldn't mention any names. We know who was on the call, mm-hmm. and we know that it was wrong, mm-hmm. and no one's really being held to task. There have been Senate hearings mm-hmm. on this, mm-hmm. but he's saying, well, just wait, and we'll let the White House
sort it out.
Yeah. But this is the same White House that has nominated a guy named Joe Kent, who was on that call to lead the National Counterterrorism Center. Now, I'm supposed to have confidence in a White House that is nominating a guy for such a key position who was on that call and on this unsecured Signal chat, and I'm supposed to feel good about this?
Mm. Let's go to the live line again, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Roberta has a quick question for us. Go ahead.
Thank you. I'm in Juan Siscomani's district, but I'm not, I don't have access to the internet, so I don't get advice of his town halls. Is there any way that can be changed? They called me once for a town hall in the very beginning after he was elected and cut me off in 15 minutes.
Right. Do you have access to email, Roberta?
No.
So you don't. Okay. So I don't know if they called people and said, hey, hang on the line if you want to be part of this or not, but that is something that's been done. I think that they should make accommodations for people in your situation, but frankly, there are not a whole lot like that. But I would call his office and just say, look, I would have loved to have gone, but I couldn't. And I think that they'll be attentive to that.
Are they going to keep this town hall telephonically the next one, or
that's a great question. You know, I guess you want to hear from your guy, mm-hmm. and this is one way to do it. But it wasn't a one way street; it was a two way street, and I appreciate that.
Okay, Dan, any final thoughts? How are recruiting young people at some of your papers? I was mentioning you've got papers in 13 states. Getting more and more difficult.
It's more and more difficult because we're in some remote locations. Those closer to a metro area have a better shot at it, but there are so many options for young journalists anymore that it is difficult. But this might be a grow your own. Just as Dave was talking about reaching the high schools, we need, and I have done so, following a real solid high school student through college, and then afterward you hire them, and we have done that where we are. So you just got to follow them for years. As he said, you play the long game.
What about your interview? When will that be published with Juan Siscomani?
Well, it actually wasn't an interview. It was just me listening in on the town hall, and that will be published probably this evening online and then in our weekend paper.
All right. Dan Scheer, thank you very much. And Dan, we'll look forward to your work here on the other side of the table as you host at least four shows for me in the merry month of May.
Looking forward to
it. Thank you very much. All right, we'll take our break right here. Coming up next, Weekend Watch with our sister station, 101.7 The Drive. Ken Carr is waiting, and Ken will have some wonderful tips of what to do in Southern Arizona this weekend.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, covering your hometown.
Travel is in my DNA. When I'm ready to start another adventure, my trip begins and ends at our local airport, Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. TUS, where it's made easy to fly. Start planning now for your next air adventure by visiting flytucson.com.
Located in the heart of Arizona wine country, about an hour south of Metro Tucson, Flying Leap Estate Vineyards Winery and Distillery Facilities are one of the most beautiful wine venues in the southwestern United States. Come relax and unwind at our spacious property and learn about Arizona grape viticulture and winemaking from our team of trained sommeliers and discover the intricacies of the art of distillation. Learn more at flyingleapvineyards.com.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
The Regional Transportation Authority invests over $100 million annually in transportation improvements in the greater Tucson region based on public input. The RTA and its regional partners deliver roadway, transit, safety, pedestrian, bicycle, environmental, and other needed improvements to meet the demands of transportation network users over a 20-year period. Learn more about the economic and quality of life benefits of the RTA's 2006 voter-approved plan and flexible funding at rtamobility.com.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Off and running on the weekend. Time for Weekend Watch with 101.7 The Drive, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Only about a three-hour drive, depending on where you're starting in the Tucson Valley. Just head east on I-10, take a left at Lordsburg, head up the mountain to Silver City in Grant County. When I say the mountain, we're talking 5,000 to 7,000 foot elevation, and that always means the Buckmaster Show guarantee of 10 degrees cooler in Silver City compared to Tucson. Start your planning now for your enchanting weekend getaway in, appropriately enough, the Land of Enchantment by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. Ken Carr is with us from 101.7 The Drive. Ken, the very popular midday host, and he's taken a few minutes out of his duties to come over and give us a few tips for the Buckmaster Show listeners on a great weekend. What's going on, Ken?
Well, it is a warm one, right?
Oh, yeah.
So there's nothing better than doing something outside.
We'll start there.
So this event has been slightly controversial.
Okay.
The Spring Cemetery Movie Night.
Mm.
Have you heard about this?
No, I have not.
Evergreen Cemetery at Oracle and Miracle Mile is having
kind
a
of the standard bearer of cemeteries.
Yes, is having a movie night.
Oh, really? Cool.
And it's presented by Loft Cinema, and the event starts at 4. Vendors, food trucks, and live music. Maybe they'll play the Grateful Dead. See what I did there? And then at 7:30, the movie is The Three Amigos, which, of course, was shot here in Tucson, at Old Tucson. And the reason it's been a little controversial is because, you know, there are people that have passed away and are buried at the cemetery, but they're doing it in a section of the cemetery where you're not going to be on top of all those folks that are in the graves.
Their remains, yes.
And turns out that I didn't know this. This is kind of a popular event around the country to do these at cemeteries.
What you are saying right now is the first I have ever heard of this.
Well,
so
if
we have learned, I come to work every day with the hope of learning at least one new thing each show, and you have just
I'm
just
so proud
fulfilled
of myself.
It.
I'm so proud of myself for
I've
giving you
never
something
heard
brand
of this
new.
This cemetery film deal.
Oh my gosh.
So well, what is it? The movie is projected up
they set up a portable inflatable screen. Okay. and they're going to show the movie.
Okay. Okay. All right.
It's an event to die for.
Okay.
All right.
Anything else?
We'll move
moving
on.
Right along.
Pima Air and Space Museum is having their Great Paper Airplane Fly Off.
Okay.
They do this each year. It's kind of a kids themed event. So they're looking for the young set who can actually make paper airplanes. All of us probably learned at one point or another as a kid to do this.
Did that in class a few times. No, not quite. Yeah.
We may or may not.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, is there evidence? Anyway, yeah. That kicks off at 9 a.m. tomorrow. The Agave Heritage Festival.
Oh, that's always a great event. Yes.
So if you like agave, you
think
agave
tasting.
Yeah, you think agave plants are pretty. You like cocktails? This is definitely for you. Includes tastings. There's a book signing. There's an agave movie showing. Did you know there's an agave movie?
Yes, because I listened to you on your radio show. But go ahead.
Yeah, I have mentioned it. That's true.
Yes.
And it's just events focused on agave throughout the weekend. That's at Hotel Congress and other areas downtown. AgaveHeritageFestival.com if you'd like to check that out. And don't forget, coming up starting Thursday, Pima County Fair. The big event that we have each year.
Already that time, Ken. All right, Ken Carr. Thank you, Ken. We'll listen for your work.
Yay!
On 101.7 The Drive, the Buckmaster Show, a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. Wholly responsible for the content of the program. Thanks to Tom on the other side of the glass. Ken Carr, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great weekend.